So last week, we, in this season of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, we began to look at Joseph and the role that Joseph had. It was that role that he had to be the foster father of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we saw that Joseph, his appearance in the Bible, although it was a brief appearance, we saw that there's many things that we can learn from Joseph. There's many great examples that Joseph presents for us. And those things, even though his appearance in the Bible is brief, those things are pointed out to us, revealed to us from the Word of God about the man Joseph and the man that he was. Now, one of the first things we saw last week is that Joseph was a just man. And we saw that just, in that context of that verse, we saw that just meant to be in conformity with God's own being. So because Joseph was conformed to God's own being, he really situated himself to be able to hear from God. And so God responded, and God spoke to Joseph. He spoke to Joseph through an angel in dreams. For example, we saw this in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So in that first dream, Joseph is instructed to take Mary as his wife, because that which is conceived in her womb is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And last week that caused us to consider this question. What is it that Jesus has conceived in you? What has Jesus conceived in us? What has he conceived in you by the Holy Spirit? What has he birthed in you to do that is to accomplish him, which is to accomplish his goals and to glorify him? What has Jesus conceived in you to do? Now, we also saw, and you saw it in that verse when the angel said, Joseph, son of David. We see that the angel was reminding Joseph that he is a descendant of David. Reminding Joseph, a descendant of David. Now, Joseph knows that the Savior of the world is coming through the line of David. So Joseph understands the relevance of that statement to him. That's what the angel was reminding him. We should always be reminded that you are of the line and of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you are empowered to do whatever it is that Jesus has set before you to do. How many of you guys, I'm not going to ask you any follow-up questions, so don't get all nervous. But how many of you guys, after last week, because I was talking last week, one of the things I mentioned was our spiritual heritage and our family heritage and the things that have been prophetically spoken into our families over past generations. Did anybody ask the Lord to show you what those were? Okay, good. Well, that's good. That's good. Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you that these, as we ask you to show us, to reveal to us that prophetic word, and I saw those hands just go up kind of halfway. Nobody really put their hand up boldly. I thank you, Lord, that as we really do seek you and as we really ask, you are looking forward to the opportunity to reveal to us those prophetic words that were spoken over our family in previous generations, that you will show it to us so that we can walk into those things that you have spoken into us, that we can fulfill those things. And so as these have asked and as others ask, I thank you and I praise you in advance that you show us, you reveal our spiritual family heritage to us, that we can walk in you in all things and fulfill those things that you have conceived in us through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we also saw last week that the name Joseph was also important. The name Joseph itself means, may Jehovah increase. If we want Jesus to increase in us, as we fulfill our roles in him, Joseph is our example. So let's follow the example of Joseph. Joseph listened. Listen. You know, when I say what he's conceived in you, there's big things and there's small things. There's a lot of things he's conceived in each one of you to do. I want us to fulfill those big things, but I also want us to fulfill even those small things he's conceived in us to do. So, follow the example of Joseph. Joseph listened. Joseph believed what God told him. Sometimes Listen, sometimes when God speaks to us, the first thing in our mind is, well, I can't do that. That's not me. That's not even my personality. Listen to what Jesus says. Believe and then obey. Obey. Now, because Joseph, because of his obedience to what God instructed him to do in those dreams, because Joseph obeyed those things, God gave him the amazing role of being the foster father of God's own son. So, what is it that Jesus has spoken and is speaking to you today? If you don't know, ask him. I have found in life, Jesus delights in my asking him questions. He wants me to know him. He wants me to know about him. And he wants me to know his plans for me and for my life. Ask him. He delights. He wants you to know those things. And then obey. Ask him, believe, and obey. Because the more you obey, this is what we see from Joseph, the more you obey those things he reveals to you, the more things he's going to show you. The more you obey, the more he shows you. So Joseph obeyed in that first dream when he was instructed to take Mary as his wife. He believed and he obeyed. And because of that, we see that God spoke to Joseph at least three more times in a dream. At least three more. Those are the three that are recorded for us in the Bible. That doesn't mean that there wasn't more. Obey. If you obey the things that he instructs you to do, he will show you more of the things that he has for you. And you know what? It's when we walk in the fulfillment of those things that he's called us to do, that is when we feel fulfilled. That is when true fulfillment comes. If you feel like I am unfulfilled, if you feel like what's the purpose of my life, the more that you fulfill the things he calls you to do, the more you're going to get that sense of completeness, of wholeness in Jesus Christ. So listen and obey. So we know that Joseph was shown three more dreams, at least three more dreams, the ones that are recorded in the Bible. So the first one we saw was where God instructed him to take Mary as his wife. And then the second time that God spoke to Joseph in a dream is when he told Joseph to take the young child and to take the child's mother and to flee to Egypt because of the threat from Herod. And then the third time we see God speak to Joseph in a dream is while they are in Egypt. And while in Egypt, that's where God says, now's the time to take your child and your wife and return back to Israel. And then the fourth time we see God speaking to Jesus, or speaking to Joseph in a dream, the fourth time is when he's on his way back to Israel. And there God warns him of Herod's son, Archelaus, and because of that, Joseph doesn't take his family back to Judea, but he takes them to the region of Galilee. And of course, we know that Jesus is raised and he lives and grows up in the city of Nazareth. Now, as I was thinking about all these different dreams that God gave to Joseph and how he spoke to Joseph, it struck me that there are many similarities between Joseph and his namesake, Joseph from the Old Testament. Joseph, one of the 12 brothers, Joseph, the son of Jacob. There's a lot of similarities between those two Josephs. The other Joseph, remember, he was known for his dreams as well. And he was known for the interpretation of his dreams as well. And that's just the beginning. Both men were men who God spoke to through dreams. And that's just the beginning of the commonality between these two men. The Bible shows us another connection between the two Josephs, between Joseph of the Gospels and Joseph from the book of Genesis. Joseph from the book of Genesis. Genesis tells us that that Joseph was the son of Jacob. So that Joseph is in the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Those are the patriarchs. Those are considered to be the fathers of the Jewish faith and of the Jewish people. Now remember that and think about this. Look at the length that Matthew in his gospel. Matthew makes sure that we understand this point about Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. He makes sure we understand this point when he is talking about the genealogy of Jesus. So this is in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So Joseph of the New Testament, he was also the son of a man named Jacob. That's not a coincidence that that takes place. So Joseph of the Old Covenant, Joseph of old, he was part of the fathers of the Jewish people. He was part of that old covenant that had been given through Abraham. And now we have Joseph. Here is Joseph in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. Joseph is the foster father of Jesus, who is the New Covenant. And through that New Covenant, he is going to bring all people to a restored and a right relationship with their Heavenly Father, all who will believe in Jesus. There's so many cool similarities. I told you that we can learn a lot from Joseph, Joseph of the New Covenant, Joseph of the New Testament, just by the words that are in the New Testament. But we can see so many of those same qualities, and we can learn. Joseph is an excellent example for us to encourage us to listen to him, to obey, and to fulfill those things that he's called us to do, fulfill those things that he's called us to be. We get more similarities of the two Josephs when we look at Matthew chapter 2. So last week we looked a lot at Matthew chapter 1. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, you see more similarities following the visit of the wise men. So after the visit of the wise men, we see that Joseph was told by God to take his young child and to take the mother and to flee to Egypt. So we read that in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 13. Now when they had departed, talking about the wise men, so the wise men have departed. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So we can see that Joseph is told to take Jesus and Mary into Egypt. Well, remember in Genesis, remember how important it was. Going to Egypt was a huge part of God's plan for Joseph of the Old Testament as well. Remember that? Just say yes, like you do remember. Okay. So this is Genesis chapter 37, verse number 28. I just want to make sure you guys are still awake. Then the Midianites, traders, passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites. Remember that. For 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. So we see that both Josephs wind up going to Egypt. Why is that important? Both of them did. Why is that important? It's important because of what Egypt represents to us. And Egypt represents the curse that mankind was living under. Now, why does Egypt represent that? Well, if you go back a little bit further in the book of Genesis, you'll see that Noah actually spoke a curse over the descendants of his son Ham, because Ham had sinned. Who are the descendants that this curse was spoken over? Well, we find that in Genesis chapter 10, verse number 6. The sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Egypt represents, in our stories of Joseph, it represents the curse that mankind was under. It represents the flesh and the curse of this flesh. So, Joseph of the Old Testament, just like Joseph of the Old Testament in his dreams eventually led him into slavery in Egypt, right? Because remember, he told his dreams to his brothers, and that's what really helped stir up and foment their hatred for Joseph. They put him in a pit. They wanted to kill him, but because Reuben intervened, they instead sold him into slavery. So just as Joseph of the Old Covenant, just as his dreams eventually led him into slavery in Egypt, so also Joseph of the New Covenant, Joseph of the New Testament, so also his dream led him to take Jesus into Egypt. And remember, Egypt represents the curse that mankind was under. So the act of taking Jesus, y'all with me? So the act of taking Jesus into Egypt represented what God was doing. God had come to this world, this fallen world, this fallen world that was under a curse. God came to the fallen world under a curse. And Jesus, in this fallen world, he came to this fallen world in this flesh. He came to this fallen world in this flesh. the same flesh that had put man in bondage to sin. That is an awesome picture of what God's doing. It's what he showed us. What Joseph was doing in the old covenant is such a great picture. It's a foreshadow of what God would do when he brought Jesus. This is all part of our celebration of Jesus coming to this earth with us. So also notice this. When we read Genesis chapter 37, did you notice that it said that when Joseph was sold into slavery, he was sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites are the ones who took him into Egypt and thus took Joseph into slavery. The Ishmaelites were the descendants of Ishmael. Ishmael is the product of Abraham and Sarah trying to fulfill God's plan and God's promise in their own strength, in their own ability, in their own flesh. Because if you remember, Abraham was told that he would have a son. And as the years passed and that promised son didn't come to Abraham and to Sarah, Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands. And Abraham produced a son through Hagar. Hagar was the handmaiden of Sarah. That son was Ishmael. Now, after Abraham and Sarah did receive their son of promise, who was Isaac, what happened to Ishmael and Hagar? They're sent away. Process all that. Everybody got that story in your mind? So now let's go a few generations later. A couple generations later, we see Joseph. Joseph, who is the descendant of Abraham, and Joseph, who is the heir to all the promises that God gave to Abraham, Joseph is taken into slavery by the descendants of Ishmael. And they take him into slavery where? They take him into slavery into Egypt, which represents the curse, which represents coming from the flesh. Now, as a sidebar, which is just fascinating, the Bible, so much information in the Bible we just read through, but it's such great adds to the understanding. It's because Abraham operated in his flesh that he brought all this on himself. Well, the Bible makes it clear. We easily read over this. The Bible makes it clear. Hagar, who was the one that he produced this son with, Hagar was also an Egyptian. So even she represented that which is the curse and living under the curse. So here's the spiritual principle that I want us to see from that. The spiritual principle is sin has brought mankind into bondage under the curse. This is illustrated by the fact that Ishmael, who is the product of the flesh, Ishmael, the product of the flesh, is taking Joseph, who is the heir of God's promises, into captivity, into slavery in Egypt. But remember this. Joseph was in slavery in Egypt. But remember, God used Joseph in Egypt to deliver his people from famine. God used Joseph in Egypt. So with that in mind, think about Joseph from the New Testament. Think about Joseph, who's the foster father of Jesus. That Joseph is the descendant of David. He is from the lineage of David. And it's from the lineage of David that the promised Savior is going to come. So in the book of Matthew, God has Joseph take Jesus, his son, into Egypt. Because in Egypt, God is going to use Jesus to deliver from the curse all men who would believe on him and receive him. This is how God has laid the whole thing out. I love the way, if you just take time to look at the Bible, I love the way it all is just intertwined. It is all just a wonderful, they use the word tapestry. It really is a tapestry of everything that God has for us and what God's plans are for us. So there's another similarity between the two Josephs, Joseph from the Gospels, from Matthew, and Joseph from the book of Genesis. Another similarity that we find is each of those are in Egypt themselves. So remember, it's while Joseph from the Gospels is in Egypt that he is given specific instructions. So let's go back and look at this again. This is the very next verse from Matthew chapter 2. We looked at verse number 13. Here's verse number 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Now the Greek word that we read there that says young child, the Greek word that we read as young child, by definition, what it actually implies is a child in training. So actually what's happening is Joseph takes Jesus to Egypt for the purpose of beginning to train him in the things of God, which we know Joseph can do because we've already established. Joseph is a just man. Joseph is a man who is in conformity to God's own being. Now, go back once again. I wasn't going back and forth. Go back once again to the Old Covenant. Go back once again to Joseph from the Old Testament and from the Old Covenant. Now remember that Joseph, under the Old Covenant, Joseph in the book of Genesis, remember that he did rise to power. And if you remember, Joseph eventually, ultimately, was entrusted with managing the entire household of Pharaoh. He was in charge of all that Pharaoh had. He was in charge of all the possessions of the entire nation of Egypt. Joseph was entrusted with all of those things. Come forward to Joseph under the New Covenant. This Joseph has been entrusted with the raising of Jesus Christ. This Joseph is entrusted with managing the household. He is entrusted with managing the household of God's divine household, his divine family here on earth. Joseph was entrusted with the greatest possession. Joseph of the Old Covenant was entrusted with all the possessions of Egypt. Joseph of the New Testament was entrusted with the greatest possession, the greatest gift that God had for the world, his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior to the world. So both Josephs, Old Testament and New Testament, they are both our example. Both men, both Josephs, managed what was entrusted to them by God. So they are our example. We need to now manage what has been entrusted to us by God. Manage what He has conceived in you by the Holy Spirit. We manage what He's conceived in us in the Holy Spirit, and we are following the example of Joseph. Now, if we go back to Joseph from the New Testament, we just saw that Joseph, in obedience to God, takes his family into Egypt. But then we read this in the next verse. So this is verse number 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So Jesus being taken into Egypt, that's representing that God came to this world, and he came to this world in this flesh. But now we read in verse number 15 that Jesus is called out of Egypt, which fulfills the prophecy which was prophesied by Hosea. Here's what Hosea said. This is Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus was called out of Egypt. He was called out of that which was the flesh, the world. He was called out of the flesh. In other words, Jesus overcame the flesh. Jesus defeated the hold of sin and death over all of us. Now, going backwards again, are y'all staying with me? Are you confused yet? Anybody confused? Would you admit it? Yes, because if you admit it, I would go back. And then we'd be here for a while. So remember, if we go back, remember that Joseph of old, Joseph of the Old Covenant, remember that I said he was raised up above captivity. Joseph actually became greater than any. Under Pharaoh, there was no man in Egypt that had more authority and more power than did Joseph. Joseph was given everything. Everything was entrusted to him, and Joseph is the one who developed the plan that would provide grain or bread for all of the biblical world of the time when that famine would come. We read that again in Genesis chapter 41, 57. So all countries, all the world of the Bible, all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all lands. Now, let's go forward to Joseph of the New Covenant. Joseph of the New Covenant, he was entrusted with the care and with the development and the training of the young child, the young boy, Jesus. Jesus would become the bread of life for all nations and for all people, for everyone who would accept his gift of love. We read that in John. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We commemorate that at communion, when we eat the bread and when we drink of the cup. Jesus is the bread of life. You and I who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have eaten the bread. Jesus is in us. Jesus dwells in us. Jesus dwells in this house, this temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus dwells here. Now, we are expected to manage that which He has entrusted to us to do. Just as Joseph managed that which is entrusted to him to do, we need to manage that which He has conceived in us to do. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're supposed to be. And we do this by following the example of Joseph. Listen, God will tell you today what His plan is for you today. And I assure you, He has plans for you in your life today that you're not aware of and that you haven't thought of. And so if I am only focused and only concerned and only thinking about my agenda and my plan for the day, I'm going to miss what He has. Listen. Keep your ears attuned throughout the day. Keep listening to Him. And not just for today. Listen, that's why I said last week, that's why I talked about your spiritual family heritage and the things that have been prophetically spoken. We need to know what has been spoken, just as Hosea spoke those words. All the words of the prophets of the Old Testament are fulfilled. He's fulfilled them. Well, some are still, but they all are going to be fulfilled. Every word of the prophets has been or will be fulfilled. Prophetically, those things that have been spoken into your family and thus into you, those things can be fulfilled in this generation, right now, through you and I. If we will listen, hear, believe what He has spoken for us to do, and then obey. Simply obey.